Today I want to look at his humanity, but I also want to look at his deity. We at this time of year, we celebrate his birth at around Christmas time. And the dates and times and the time of the season then, it was comparable to winter time, but a little different. And we can look at those dates, and that doesn't really matter. It's what matters is we do celebrate the birth of Christ. And a lot of times the world gets off of that and gets so wrapped up in the gift giving and having and stuff. We've all got addicts of stuff, and we see that stuff come to these yard sales, pray the Lord, that finances some of these youth things. But, you know, I guess years ago with children, young children, we get wrapped up in that thing, and it's fun. But we want to really look and think about what Christmas is about, who he was. This study on the life of Christ, the life begins at Christmas, the celebration of Christmas in his birth. How important that he come as man, but he was still God. He was the God-man. And our minds, being as finite as they are, sometimes it's hard for me to wrap my mind around the depth of that, because there was so much going on from the Old Testament. The mystery in the Old Testament was being revealed at his birth, and it was answering to the question of the sin of mankind was about to be finally dealt with forever. And God seemed fit to send his Son, part of the Trinity, to die on the cross, the final sacrifice, the Lamb, that was going to save mankind, the world, from their sinful nature that started back with Adam and Eve. So we can look at all the way back at the beginning of the Word and see that ribbon of blood tied all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament. And now we're here at that point celebrating that this week. And then this lesson that we've got today, the humanity and the deity of Christ, we're going to look at both of those here in just a second. It's so important for us to keep in mind is that old saying that we've heard often, the reason for the season is Jesus. And praise the Lord for that. We have a hope in that birth that was there that day in that manger. The hope that it gives us all, the hope that it gives the world, is beyond comprehension. My mind can't think far enough. I can only think so far about heaven and the promises of heaven and the promises of eternity and the promises of what God has chosen us as that elect. We're part of that church. We're part of that bride. And it started that day in that manger, because that set the things, the Ten Commandments was in the past. The temple, the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom, making a statement that we no longer need the law. All we need is what Christ did on the cross in his birth, coming to the world that day. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started into our lesson on the humanity and deity of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you for coming to this earth, being born as a man, but still God. Your salvation, that you come You were born, you come to this world to die in this world and be resurrected back sitting in heaven today. Lord, we thank you for all those promises. We thank you for the gospel record, the canon of the word that we have in this King James Version that we look at. We thank you for your earthly name, and we thank you for your divine titles and all that we get from the New Testament and the Old Testament. Lord, the whole Bible speaks of you. It's about you, and we thank you for that. Lord, we just praise your name for today, praise your name forever. We thank you for another day that we can come out to church and be together in fellowship together, praise his name together, and hear your word preached and taught throughout our church today. Pray for our pastor today as he brings the message, that it will touch hearts, change lives, save souls. Your word is powerful and able to do that. And God, we thank you for that. Lord, help us with this lesson. Help me with this lesson. Say what you want to say through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So I guess when we can talk about the name Jesus, when it doesn't matter what mission field you're on or what part of the world you're in, what street you're standing on, you mention the name Jesus, heads turn. Still today in the world that we have, heads turn. Of course, the meaning of Jesus is the salvation of God. And it's used over 600 times in the gospel record, the name Jesus. And then we have the divine title, Christ, meaning the anointed one, the Messiah. It's used over 50 times in the gospel record. The ultimate question is to us today and everyone as we go into this Christmas season, what do you think about Christ? Of course, in Matthew, it was being written to the Jews, remember? Of course, in the whole gospel record. It was asking those people, what do you think about Christ? Because the nation of Israel was coming out of the Old Testament beliefs that, and the church had been reestablished, and they were looking at everything that was going on in the tabernacle and the temple and all that, and the gospel at that time, they were still preaching what Moses had written down. And now this Christ has come on the scene, and Matthew's asking these folks that have been in a church just like this, but they were worshiping God in a way that was set up in the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, Christ comes on the scene and all things change. So as the word was going into Matthew there, they were asking these folks, what do you really think about this Christ? Because it was going to change the world. Not turn it upside down, but turn it up right. As the word spread and the New Testament church started, as the disciples started preaching after Christ went back to heaven after his death, burial, and resurrection, the new God had gave the disciples, the Holy Spirit came down permanently to dwell with man. And we have that Holy Spirit today, the same Holy Spirit, part of the deity. Another thing that you can think deep on all that, and how is it possible that I have the Holy Spirit within me? Well, it's because of what Christ did. It's because of his righteousness, what he bestowed on us from this day that he was born in that manger. The mind of God was in that baby, but he was man at the same time. And the evidences of his humanity is mentioned in many places in the New Testament. I wanted to look at Hebrews. I got kind of off on a rabbit trail on Hebrews today. And Hebrews chapter 4, if you want to look, we have being written here talking about Christ the Son is better than Moses and the servant that he was. Again, speaking of what went on in the Old Testament, and people were looking to that, you know, the Ten Commandments. I'm basically, they convicted us of those sins that it talks about. But they had to sacrifice lambs and on and on, and all the sacrifices that was done at that time. And now things had changed. And he's in chapter 4, it says there in the very first verse, he says, let us. Now, who is us? That's us. We have to think about us as us, saved people, those that believe. Of course, it was talking to the church at that time, a lot of Jewish people and Gentiles. But you had what they called those Judaizers going around confusing the matter, coming into church and saying, you still got to put what Moses said and mix it with, they were wanting to mix works, salvation. I mean, we still have that kind of stuff going around today. People wanting to think I need to do this or do that to be saved or be part of the church, or I have to join a church to be saved, or I have to get baptized to be saved. By faith, we are saved. Christ is the doorway. He is the light. He is what saves us. Not doing something or joining a particular church or saying I'm a particular believer or whatever. It's what Christ did, folks. It's all about what Christ did. And it started at his birth. And we can celebrate that during Christmas time. We keep that in focus. But he says, let us therefore fear lest I don't think I'll go there. I think I'm going to get off and I'm not going to get to this. But it's talking there in chapter 4. If you want to read that for your own, it goes through there and says, let us. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them. Now, who's them? Those folks that don't believe. But the word was preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You see there, it's talking about the faith. We're saved through faith in what Christ did on the cross. Have we seen it or touched it? We've not. We're there. The Bible says we're much more blessed because we believe by faith. And then one of the things that really reached out and touched me here in one of the verses is chapter 4, verse 11. And it says, let us labor. Now, therefore, for to enter into that rest. Now, what are we talking about there? Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So we have to make an effort. Now, that labor there has nothing to do with salvation. It's therefore we want to enter into rest with the peace knowing that we're saved. How much peace does that give you knowing that you're saved? How much peace does it give you to think about Christmas time, his birth? We have to make an effort. That labor is saying you've got to kind of work at it. You kind of got to think about it. You need to read his word and stay tuned up and prayed up. Because we can lose that excitement about what Christ was coming about and who Christ really was. So it's saying there, and let us labor, let us work, let us not work for our salvation, but to keep the peace. It's talking about peace. Seeing that we, down there in verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our professions. Let us hold fast. Folks, if we've ever seen a day in time that we've lived in this world and in this country, we need to hold fast what we believe. Don't let it waver. The Bible talks about being like blown with wind and waves and just tossed about. Boy, is it not a day in this world that if you start listening to some of the news and stuff, that it won't toss you about? We need to hold fast. That's kind of a Navy term. Harold may know it. I think you were a boatswain mate, weren't you? We get out on that line and hold the line, and they would do a high line across to another ship and either bring fuel across or supplies across, and use underway doing 20 knots and waves and wind. And the old boatswain mate would say, "Hold fast! Hold fast!" Because the ship was getting ready to rock in and a wave was going to come over you. Folks, the world can come over us. And we need to hold fast to the Word of God and the truth of it. The world has so easily forgot that. I'm sorry, I'm emotional. I love the Lord. Hold fast. Now let's move on down to the next section of this lesson. Anyway, the Lord spoke to me this morning on that Hebrews thing, and I just wanted to pass that on. So we can look at the evidence of his humanity. Here we are at Christmas, and we celebrate his birth, and we can think about his humanity, and the little kids think about all that, and Jesus was born and that. And you can look at the New Testament there, and there's many evidences of it. We can look at his physical growth in Luke 2:52. He says he increased in wisdom and stature, talking about him growing and understanding as a child. We can look at his physical needs in John chapter 4. His journey was wearisome on him. And he said, "Give me drink." He was thirsty. He had physical needs. I mean, this is just proof that he was human. And he had emotions. He wept. He felt. He hurt for his friends. He hurt for the nation of Israel. He wept. I know that's, everybody says that's the shortest verse, but that's so deep because he had emotions. He was man. He understood what it was to weep. He understood what it was to hurt for others, as we do today, as we have funerals or those that are sick and whatever. We have that emotion, and he had that same emotion. So this has given his human side of him the connection he needs. And we're going to talk about him, his ability to judge as an almighty God. But from this humanity side of him, he wanted to know what we felt through this birth and through this dying on the cross. Through his life, short life on earth, he felt what we feel. And he wanted that. God wanted that. Because you look at God and you think God's so far above and raised up above it all. And he's out there in heaven and he's perfect and he cannot lie and he's immutable. He never changes and on that you can say and high and lifted up. Sometimes we can remove God so far away that it doesn't seem real, but bring it back down to humanity. When Christ was born here, he had friends. He had relationships. He had Mary, Martha, Lazarus. And you think about Lazarus dying, and he came into town, and all the ladies are all upset, and they're all crying, and he started crying too. And you look at one time he walked, I think he was on Mount Olives, and he was looked over into town, into Jerusalem, off in the distance there, some miles away, a few miles away. And he started crying because he was thinking about the humanity of the world that was dying because of their sin. He had those emotions. He had those emotions. So he had relationships, and he felt he cared even right to the very end for his mother, hanging there on a cross, wanting someone to care for her. In the suffering that he went through, the hurting. You know, a lot of times we get sick, we're hurt. Harold was telling me his sister fell down and broke her hip, and she's in the hospital this morning. We need to pray for her. And she's hurting. She's got a broke hip, and she's in pain. And we look at the cross a lot of times. Oh, it's a terrible thing with all the beating and all the humility and the humility part of it for them people that were treating him poorly, and we know that he even in the garden before it happened, he asked God, I need to go through this, but I'm not looking forward to it. I mean, he was a human being, but he was God. He was God. So now let's look at, we can see that he was a man. Well, now let's look at his humanity, or we looked at his humanity. Let's look at his deity and what he was. He was fully God. At the same time, he was man. The claims that in the Old and New Testament, was he, we've heard this many times, he was the shepherd. John 10:11 says, it says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. One time I was in Africa, and we seen real shepherds. Brother Harry and I seen some shepherds in Romania too. They came, brought their cows back down through town. But these shepherds that I saw in Africa were tending cattle out in the middle of Africa. And it was up next to Uganda, I think, is where I was at. And this was the real deal. And it was evening time, and they had brought the cattle kind of out of their field. And it was always a couple of guys with this, and it was a family. Each family had 30 cattle and 30 or 40 cattle, and they would have shepherds. Now, these shepherds lived with this flock. They actually lived with them. These guys had blankets around them. They carried a little old wooden stool about that big, and that was their pillow, a wooden stool. And I asked the interpreter, why don't they get a pillow? And they said, well, they put that wooden stool down, lay their head on it, and then the bugs can't crawl in their ear. I mean, these guys were the real deal. I mean, dirty cattle pen. They'd had them hemmed up in a bunch of rocks with a bunch of brush across so they couldn't get out that night, or the critters couldn't get in. And they were so serious about caring for their cattle, these guys carried rifles because of all the wild animals. At that time I was there, it's been a grand while ago, there was also raiding going on from across the line into Uganda and South Sudan. So it was a big, real deal, life-threatening care for these cattle. I think we don't really fully grip that, because when we say shepherds, we're not really used to that. Now, here in East Tennessee, we may be. A lot of people got cattle, and they take care of them today. They ride four-wheelers around and herd them up and put them in pens and all that kind of thing. But saying that you're a shepherd, and the verse says, I'm a good shepherd, faithful and true, willing to do whatever's necessary, is what that's saying. A good shepherd giveth his life. This shepherd, he's willing and did give his life for his children, for us. He was a shepherd, the real deal. And then we can look at he at the same time, he has the right to judge us because of his deity. In John 5:27, it says, "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man." He hath given him authority. God gave him authority to be the judge over all. Now, he's God, he's man, he's the Holy Spirit. He has authority, think about this, to judge and maintain everything in the universe. But he still wants to be my shepherd. That's powerful. Because we can high and lift him up. But he had that humanity that puts him on our level. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. God gave him that authority. He hath given him that authority, it says in verse 27. To execute judgment. The judgment of everything under the sun. Anything that you can think about. Now, we can think about people suffering. We can think about all the floods. We can think about what just happened out in Kentucky with that little town being wiped out. Did that surprise God? No. God knew that was going to happen at the foundations of the earth, at the beginning, before Genesis. He knows all, from the beginning to the end. And really, there is no beginning to the end. It is just for us, because we're just a vapor inside that timeline. He is eternal, and he knows all, then, now, and forever. There is no present or past. It's I am. And we'll talk about that I am here in just a minute. So he can execute judgment on the universe, on people suffering, on the wrongs that's been done. And we think, well, a lot of people say, how does God allow that to happen? Folks, we live in a sinful world. And sin judged us. We're born, and now we are judged with sin, and we die someday. Folks, every day is a gift. Every day is a gift. Take it. Thank the Lord for it. It becomes really real. It has to Debbie and I. With the sickness she got last year. Every day is a gift. God gives it to us. But he executes justice. And why? It says because he is the Son of Man. This praise talks about him being man. Because he is man. Because he has a human nature. Because of all the things that we talked about a while ago. His feelings and infirmities. And he cries and his ability to know hurting and pain. Do you understand? He understands everything that you're going through. You may think, God don't know what I'm going through. He does. Because he was man. What a wonderful thing that is to think about. That God knows because he was man. Because he was born that day in Bethlehem. He has the right to judge us. Because he was the Son of Man, his priorities is, it's one of his natural abilities is to be a righteous judge. And Lord, I look forward to the day that he comes back. We may go out here today and start the end times and the judgment of Satan. Someday we'll get to maybe be involved in where we will be involved and get to see Satan thrown into that pit forever and ever and done away with sin. That's a wonderful promise. That's a wonderful promise. There's so many things that we get because of Jesus being born at Christmas time. I mean, that's reaching. I mean, he's been born because someday now, because I believe in him, I'm going to get to see Satan thrown into that bottomless pit. The end of sin. The end of suffering. No more crying. Think about that. We can rabbit trail off on all kinds of things. All kinds of things. Then the Bible says he is light. He is light. It says there in John 8:12, Then Jesus spoke again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of his life. Now we think about light. The word light, God created light. We can go back to the beginning and see how he created light and said it was good. It's a good thing. Have you ever been in absolute darkness? I used to go underground in the mines, and you can turn your cap light off. And it's the true saying, it's dark, can't see your hand for any face. It is so black, the complete. We can walk around out here at night and there's always some kind of ambient light from the stars or the moon or whatever, town off into the distance. And you can say, well, that's dark. But I'm telling you, when you're underground and you're 2 miles back in the earth and you turn your light off, it's dark. There is no light. The absence of light. And he came into this world and created light in this world, not only that we can see with our eyes, but that we can have a light in our hearts to understand who he is and what he has done on that cross. He gives us understanding. Light could be like understanding. Light, he talks about light of our pathway. He talks about being the light of our life. And on and on and on, we can be groping in the dark and we see people that are not saved. Bless their hearts. They have no light to guide them. And we often wonder, why in the world are they acting like that? Did you see how they looked? Did you see what they did? Why is those people acting like that? They have no light in their heart. And that's what they need to understand. That we need to understand that everyone needs that light. That's what this pulpit's about right here. Is our pastor standing there saying you need to be saved so you can have the light of God in your heart and you get an understanding of what he did for you. He saved you on that cross. But he was born in that manger. And we all understand that. We can all sit right here and think about that easily. Why? Because we've got the light of his word giving us understanding. He's give us that. It's a gift, folks. Another gift. Another one of those things we get with salvation. The life was the light of men. Life. Living it as a saved person. How much easier it is than the striving of the world. What a wonderful thing this light is. And we can go on and talk about light on and on and on. How it shines into our soul. How it gives us understanding. Then we can say he's the first and the last. In Revelations it says, as John was getting an understanding of what God was getting ready to do and explain the future, and John wrote down in Revelations 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I mean, he was seeing God, but he was seeing Christ at the same time. How human it is when someone falls down, you reach down to help them. That's humanity. That's God at the same time. But he saw him and felt him, and he lifted him up and set him up so he could talk to him. He said, get up off your face, and he sticks his hand down to him. That's the deity, but God at the same time, man at the same time. Folks, we have so much in this birth at Bethlehem. So much. And he says, fear not. I am the first and the last. He sticks his right hand down to him, set him upright. I like to think that that's maybe what he does when we get saved. He sets us upright. We see these people get baptized, and they're publicly saying, I've been set upright. And he laid his hand upon him, saying, fear not. Fear not. He don't want people to be afraid of him. I think John didn't really realize how he was dealing with a deity, God, and man at the same time. So his humanity was showing through not only in his actions, but him understanding who we are. He told him, don't be afraid. Folks, we can be afraid of a lot of things. And he didn't want him to fear. He said, it's okay. It's going to be fine. How do we like to hear that? When we're praying and we've got illnesses and people hurt and people in the hospitals and people have cancer. And you read the word and God speaks to our hearts and says, don't be afraid. I've got this. What a wonderful God we've got. What a wonderful God we've got. So he laid his hand on him. He's saying, don't be afraid. It's me. And then he says, I am the first and the last. I mean, speaks about his deity. Here he has, having human characteristics, ministering to his heart, saying, don't be afraid. And then he says, I am the first and the last. Think about that. I am God. I am the first and the last. Then we even look at that word, I am. I've always thought, let's read John 8:58. And Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, when we get this verily, verily in a verse, there's many times it's in there, it's denoting a particular great importance of what I'm about to say. So, you know, like we do our kids, now listen, now look at me. Are you looking at me? Listen to what I'm going to say. And that's what God's saying when he says, verily, verily. He's saying, I am. I am the great I am. Before Abraham I was. Before Abraham I lived. He was explaining that I'm forever past. I am the expression that we have heard in I am. And I am that I am. We've heard those things for years, but think about how you can add our humanity. I want to add, I am your Savior. I am your great physician. I am your protector. I am your shepherd. I mean, you can put anything behind that you want to put behind it. And God can be that for you. And he is that for us. Because he's all powerful, all knowing, judges everything, do all, fix all, solve all, going to fix all in the end. I am all that. I mean, just think about that. I am was laying in a manger that day. He was born of man, laying in a manger, and they could look at his face and say, that is I am. Man, what a day that was. What a day that was. So here we have Christmas time with I am coming. He can be anything and everything to us as Christians. Thus, by faith we've believed, we've trusted in his salvation, and we can say, I am is on my side. It's going to get me through all this. Going to get me through the world. Going to get me through illness. Going to get me through sickness. Going to get us through loneliness. A lot of us here have lost loved ones. I am can take care of that. Because he can. You can add anything to the end of that name you want to add. He'll take care of us. So he declared his power. He claimed to have power only God could have. He forgave sins. He raised the dead. In that New Testament, he claimed that he was the Messiah, and he allowed people to worship him and pray to him, and he taught people how to pray. He accepted worship. I think there was like 9 occasions. I'm pretty sure that's the number. He placed his word on the same level that was God. And that's what really got the Sadducees and Pharisees and all those, they were sad, you see, all stirred up. He was God come in the flesh, and they just absolutely could not accept that. So the opposition started, trying to catch him up and catch you that and this and that and this and that. And finally, through all that mess, God allowed his son to go to the cross because of those people's unbelief. I think in the back of their minds they really knew who he was and they wanted to try to get rid of him. But all they did is fulfill prophecy. It was all set in motion at the foundation of the earth. And the Old Testament prophets prophesied it, and it happened in the New Testament. The great I am was born that day in Bethlehem. So he claimed that. He accepted worship. He was talking on the same level as God. And he requested that men would pray in his name. I mean, those guys heard that in the temples, and that they're just... We got to get rid of this guy. He's saying he's God. He was God. So we can look at many proofs. There's so much here, so much depth that we could go into. We can look at Matthew 3:17. The Father declares he's Son. John 15:26. The Spirit declares that he is God. The Father declares that he is God. John 1:28. John the Baptist declared he was God. Luke 2:11, the angels declared he was God. Luke 4:41, devils declared he was God. Matthew 1:21, his virgin birth declares he is God. John 3:2, the miracles declared he was God. In Hebrews 4:15, Christ sinless life declares he was God. Acts 1:33, his resurrection declares he was God. Without that, folks, you've got a bunch of dead God idols sitting all over the world. Brother Harry and I've been places and you see these things built as high as this auditorium, people putting stuff in front of them, and they're just as dead as that piece of wood right there. We have a living God. Amen. The fulfillment of his he declares he was God. There in John 1:45, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. What a wonderful time of year to celebrate Jesus' birth, the great I am. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your coming as a child, as a man, but God at the same time. God, we thank you for that. Praise your name for being the great I am, for being who you are, the judge, and your forgiveness and your salvation and all that you give us. You're a shepherd, you're a caretaker, you love us, you died for us, and on and on and on and on. Lord, we praise your high and holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your humanity and we thank you for your deity. Lord, we pray for the morning service that we have a full house and someone here today hears the word of God and trust it and trust Christ as their personal Savior. Touch hearts, change lives. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.